What we are about to start today is really very simple. When I finish the evening, you may wonder, gee, why didn't anybody see this before or say this to me before? Because it is so fundamental and so simple. However, talking about it isn't so simple. The idea, once you get it, is very simple, but the words you have to use to get there are not that familiar in our society. So I'm going to do most of the talking this period, and I would like to leave you with a sense of why we're going to do what we're going to do, not because that'll help you get there, but because that'll motivate you more to do what you need to do to get there. Grown-ups tend to want a good reason for doing things, otherwise they don't want to do it. When I train children in this process, they just do what I ask them to do. They don't ask me why, you know. So it's easier. Well, I'm really glad you're sitting here without a headache today, because that makes it easier to listen. The idea that I'd like to communicate to you is as simple as this. That is, there is a way that you're paying attention right now that causes you to remain stressed, remain in a kind of emergency mode of attention. And that tells your body to support this emergency mode of attention, so your body acts as if an emergency is in process. Even though you have no intention to do that, even though that's not what you really want to do, and you don't even recognize the effort that you're putting into this mode of attention, even though that's true, you end up accumulating tension and stress and not relieving it because of this mode of attention that you're in. If, on the other hand, you were to change your attention from a narrow, objective, gripping attention, which is your style all day long, to one that's more diffuse, more able to pick up peripheral experience, seeing peripherally and hearing peripherally and feeling all around you, as well as your whole body, and tasting and smelling and being aware of your thoughts and the mind, the feeling of mind or space in which those thoughts occur, and having a sense of nowness, a sense of being present in this moment, just a very present moment. If you had that kind of open attention simultaneously and equally being aware of all your senses, then your body would be releasing, diffusing stress and normalizing your physiological function, your mental function. Your body would end up in a kind of homeostasis. I don't know if you're familiar with that word. Do you know that word, homeostasis?
No, I've heard it. I couldn't define it for you.
But it's kind of like, stasis means stable, you know, and homeo means home. So you're kind of in a nice, stable, even, balanced, normalized physiology, okay? As opposed to one ready to fight or flee, which is emergency oriented. Now, everything in your experience from when you were a baby on up has groomed you into this narrow focus. Our society depends on it. It's the only recognized form of attention, actually. If you're not focusing, there's something wrong with you. You're sick, or you're lazy, or you're no good, or something like that, you know. So even when you were in the crib, they would shake a rattle over you and say, oh, look, he's focusing, you know. And they want focus. And when you talk to people, they want you to look right at them and show that you're paying attention. And in many, many ways, you've been trained to focus like this. In school, work, at home, even with your loved ones, they want your attention the same way. So there's many, many pressures to bear in that direction. However, since you spend almost all of your waking time in this mode, and you don't take breaks, This form of attention allows the accumulation of stress, of tension, physical tension, emotional stresses and tension. Every kind of stress that you could imagine occurs as a result of the way you're paying attention. And because you maintain it such a long period of time. Okay? It's not inherently bad to be able to focus, obviously. But it is inherently bad to stay in this one form of attention all day long and just turn it to whatever you're interested in at the moment or feel is important at the moment and never take a break and go back home to a way of being which is present, effortless, wide open, even all around behind you as well as in front of you and to the sides, and more immersed. That is, you more into your experience. You actually experience yourself as your experience instead of being separate from it, making an object of it, treating it like altogether independent of you, and then manipulating it in various ways. Okay? Now again, I'm not saying that's terrible to do. It's just terrible to do constantly. And what we're going to start now is a period of training where you'll learn how to go from narrow, objective, gripping attention to diffused, immersed, effortless attention, and back again. Okay, we're going to develop a kind of environment which will support your learning attentional flexibility. Okay?
Yes.
And you'll be surprised to see that lots of your symptoms will just dissipate. Maybe not immediately, although it could. Some clients have an immediate reaction. Depends on how deep and how completely they allow themselves to open their focus and merge with their experience effortlessly. But in time, that's what's going to happen. Now, that will happen even if you only do it during your practice at home 3 times a day. Okay, at home or at work 3 times a day, on the bus or the train or whatever. But you'll get added benefits as you gradually recognize, gee, when I'm home, I don't have to do that all the time. I could, you know, spend more time like this and open focus. And then when something comes up, narrow focus on it and come back. Till you get really comfortable with that at home in many chores or interactions or, you know, while you're watching TV, even you don't have to narrow focus on the TV. You can be aware of everything at the same time, which is a way of letting go. Being aware of everything is accepting everything. And that means releasing all the resistances and avoidances and the repressions that are so much a part of everyone's life in this time. So, how do we bring about this open focus? We have a series of tapes which ask a series of questions. And I ask these questions about space. Let me give you an example. Can you imagine the space between your eyes? Would be, in fact, the first question today will be of that form. Okay, and what it asks of you is to bring as many senses to bear simultaneously and equally to the experience of space between your eyes. So under ideal circumstances, you know, if you were already well trained at this, you could bring to bear a feeling of a space between your eyes, and you can visualize that space between your eyes, and you can hear the silence between your eyes, and taste and smell space between your eyes, and think about the space between your eyes. In fact, even experience your thoughts coming from that space between your eyes, and have a sense of nowness between your eyes. Okay, now, I know that you can't do that. I've been doing this for 30 years now, and I know that no one walks in the door with an ability to do that. They're very happy if they could just do one or two senses of awareness or imagery of that space. And the first one is usually visualized. Almost everyone is a visualizer. They immediately jump to visualizing the space. But I want to ask you, starting right now, whenever you hear a question about space, I would like you, if it is your first reaction to visualize it, to quickly, after that imagery occurs, to ask yourself if you could also imagine feeling the space between your eyes. So at least you have two senses going for you, okay? Visualizing and feeling. Okay, now I want to emphasize what I mean by feeling. Would you put your hands on your lap like this? Can you feel, can you imagine feeling now the sense of presence of your thumbs?
Yes.
You can feel your thumbs right where they are. Huh? Can you imagine feeling the space? Or could you imagine feeling the shape of your thumbs? Roughly.
Feeling the shape?
Yeah, in other words, you know it's...
I mean, I kind of know in my mind's eye what they're shaped like.
That's the, you're visualizing it.
Right,
now,
I don't know if I can feel the shape of my thumbs.
Okay, but you can feel where they are, right?
Yes, yes.
And if you wiggle them a little, you get a sense of what kind of shape of your thumbs too, right? A feeling sense, uh-huh. Right? Okay, now just let it stop, and it's still there, right? That feeling of the shape of your thumbs. So you have a rough idea of what the shape is. Inside that shape, you have a sense of presence of your thumbs. Outside that shape, in the region around your thumbs, what do you feel?
I don't feel anything.
That's right. That's the feeling of space. You don't feel anything. It's a feeling of nothingness or void or emptiness or a sense of absence. Okay? You know your finger doesn't extend into that absence. The contrast, in fact, the reason you know you have a finger is because you contrast that sense of presence of your thumbs with that sense of absence around your thumbs, right?
Yeah, as I focus on my thumbs, I almost feel tingly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Good. So you're in touch. You're in touch with them. Good. Now, can you also feel the sense of presence of your index fingers?
Yes.
And their shape?
Yes.